listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley on this fairly warm day, I must say. But we have with us today Lorraine from Eastern Health. We've had Lorraine on a couple of times and we always learn a lot from her. She's a senior counsellor up at Eastern Health in Healesville. Welcome, Lorraine.
Thanks, Alan. It's really nice to be back again, and happy first day of summer.
I'm not sure what sort of summer we're going to get this year. It's all about a lot of rain. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Lorraine, there were a couple of things that I'd really like to cover during the in the next hour, but one of the first ones is I've got a couple of little stories about coming out of this last lockdown. I think probably a lot survived the first lockdown last year a bit easier. But coming out, I've heard a couple of stories of people that are frightened to get back out into the community because they're frightened of COVID. But I've also heard of two cases in the last week where the person's left home to drive somewhere, not all that far away. One was only 20 k's away, and they couldn't. They're overcome with anxiety, and they had to go home. Lorraine, I'm hoping these are just isolated cases, but what sort of strategies should people be giving some thought to for those sorts of circumstances?
I think it's really helpful maybe to understand that this is not an uncommon thing for people to experience when they've been through a situation like we have over the last, well, we're sort of almost coming up for 2 years now. So something that we thought was going to be very short-lived and that we could kind of manage has kind of gone on and on, and people have had to adjust constantly to that kind of situation. And I think what's happened is people have been encouraged or mandated to stay at home, and so therefore home becomes safety, and therefore the outside becomes unsafe. And in our minds, we're always trying to work out, well, which is safe? Is home safe or is out safe? So then we start to say to people, you can go back out. It would be great for you to socialise with friends again. But for a long time, friends, family, the community has been kind of like the sort of silent enemy. I could get COVID from anyone, or I don't want to spread COVID. And so our minds take a while to kind of adjust, and I sort of think it's a bit like re-entry. So if you think about a rocket going up into space, it's kind of like a bit of preparation for re-entry. And some people find that transition really easy, and then the expectation that they might have on people that are finding it a bit more challenging is they should just be able to, you know, let's just get back on with life. Life should just kind of be easy again. But a lot of people are finding a great deal of anxiety about even not necessarily about getting COVID. It might be that, but often it's just the body not being sure what's safe and what's not safe. And biologically what seems to be happening is we've been kind of flooded with high levels of cortisol, which is our stress hormone. And so in that way, we're kind of thinking with our threat system and not with our kind of logical system. And so it's almost like that re-entry is going to take a little bit of time. And I guess my advice is a couple of things. If you find yourself going somewhere and you start to feel a great deal of anxiety, or you might even have a panic attack, which for a lot of people they've never had before, it's really, really frightening, they're not sure what's going on, is to actually pull your car over, or if you're out and about, find somewhere quiet. If it's at a shopping centre, go outside, find a seat you can sit down. Sit down and see if you can just regulate your breathing a little bit. So the first thing is to do something really simple, which is put your hand on your heart and on your belly and actually notice your breathing in and out until it kind of calms down.
Lorraine, would it be the worst thing to do to turn around and go home and give into that anxiety, or are you better to sit on the side of the road and then try and continue on? Or if you turn back and you give into it, is it just going to get worse and worse?
Well, I might say it might be if you can get home and that's what you need to do, that might be what you need to do for that time. But it might be if you feel that you can tolerate pulling over and just giving yourself some time to calm down, you might then make a different decision. But I would say that either of those decisions, if that's what you need, is okay. And you might need to build up your tolerance to being out and about again. So it might be, if it's 20Ks, it might be just go down to your local park and just go for a little walk with someone that you trust. So having one of the things we know is we've a lot of people have been very lonely and have been forced to be away from people that they care about. The thing that actually increases another hormone that we really need is oxytocin, which is our feel-good hormone, makes us feel kind of elated. The way that we can get more of that is by having contact with meaningful relationships. So find someone that you trust if you're feeling a little bit anxious, and maybe ask them, can they go for a walk with you? Just a really gentle walk, and get a sense and a feel for what it's like to be outside again, what it's like to be in public again, and start to feel the anxiety, but know that you've got some support there. The other thing that we often tell people to do, and it seems like the most basic thing in the world, it's an exercise we call five things. And we're using all of our senses, because when we get really stressed, we get stressed in all of our five senses. I always forget one, so forgive me. There's only five, but I always seem to forget one. So we see and we hear and we smell and we have touch and we have taste. And so we ask people to just nominate five things that they can see, hear, taste, touch and smell. And it seems really simple, but what it does is it calms your threat system down and it helps your thinking, planning, rational brain, part of the brain, start to help you make a decision. Because once you're calm, you might say, oh, actually, there is no threat here. I've just been in a process of being used to looking for threat all the time. Do I need a mask? Do I need a QR code? Do I need my vaccination passport? We're kind of overloaded. I'm just getting into the building here. Takes 5 minutes. And so everything takes longer and it also elevates our stress system. So whatever we can do to help ourselves calm down in that moment, and if it means driving home, that might be one option, but it might be, can I pull over and calm down and then see if I can make another decision? It might be that I carry on with my trip and I feel okay. It might be that I go home, but I try again. So keep trying, because that social connectedness is actually really healthy for us.
Lorraine, if you turn around and go home, then is it going to be harder the next time? Or what I'm trying to get at, is it better to try and sort of keep going rather than give into it?
Yeah, I think if it's something that continues, then it might be that you might need to get some support from a professional to help you work out what's going on and practice those strategies with someone who can provide that support. But sometimes because we've been asked to trust other people to make decisions for us for such a long time, we've kind of lost a sense of being able to make decisions for ourselves. And so if what you need is to go home, then I would say trust what you need at that time. But if it persists for a long time and you can't leave the house, that might be a time to actually talk to your doctor. We have a counselling service, and I'll make sure that you've got all the numbers at the end of that. It's a free service. We've been working with people throughout COVID around anxiety, and people that have never experienced anxiety before have been coming to us and saying, hey, I don't really feel like myself. I don't know what's going on. And I think that last lockdown, we'd just come out, and I refer to it as the whiplash lockdown. We were just coming out. We were getting our brave back on again. We were starting to feel a bit more confident. We were meeting family and friends. I remember going and sitting in a cafe thinking, oh, life's starting to return to normal. And then suddenly we were back in again for a short period, and that it went on for a really, really long time. And I know for most people, they just got really exhausted from that. And so it's the time coming out is probably going to take as long as it did to adjust going in.
Lorraine, there's a couple of things I want to cover, but one of them that you just mentioned before, that, if you are suffering from anxiety, get hold of a friend or somebody you trust, and go for a walk with them. If you're going to do that, would it be advisable to tell them how you feel? Or, see, I find it a bit hard because I don't suffer from anxiety. So, it would be very easy for a person to say, get over it. But would it be better to tell them and say, well, this is the problem, or not?
I think it depends on the quality of the relationship. And I guess what I'm referring to is, you know, find someone that you really feel like you can be honest with. Because one of the things that a lot of people are saying to us in the counselling team is that sometimes the expectations of others that don't experience anxiety actually increases their anxiety, because they're sort of saying, well, you should just get out and you should just do this. Mm. And anxiety is one of those really, if you've not experienced it, it's really hard to describe, but it's not rational, as in it's not like you can talk yourself out of it. It's basically a process, or a process that's happening within your bodily system. And so we actually need to kind of work with it. And I think it would be helpful to say, look, I'm experiencing challenges getting out of the house. Would you be able to help me just by going for a walk with me? And if I need to go home really quickly, can we do that? And we'll just build up to it. So you're sort of setting it up for success, rather than feeling like if you go home, it's a failure. But it might be just building up my strength again. Like if you've not been going to the gym for a while, you get a bit deconditioned. And our mental health is a bit the same. I think we're all a bit deconditioned. Mm. And we need to build up our strength and our confidence, and our ability to be in the community again. And I think anxiety is something that a lot of people are experiencing. And the most helpful thing we can do for someone with anxiety is actually listen to them and not say, just get on with it, just get over it. Because anxiety doesn't actually work like that. It doesn't respond to that. In fact, it actually increases the anxiety for the person experiencing it, and is very unhelpful.
See, one of the things too that, again, I'm very lucky I don't, but I know two or three people that suffer from depression, and they say that one of the worst things, or a lot of people say to Mark, get over it, you know, yes, and get moving. But
exactly.
But anxiety, is that the same? That I mean, you just can't get over it.
No, and in fact, sometimes we do say to people, it would be helpful for you to get going, even if you don't feel like it, but we never said just get over it.
Yeah.
It's a bit like saying to someone in a wheelchair, just get up and walk.
Yeah, I guess
the same kind of thing. Like, you know, if they could, they would. Yeah, because people don't enjoy being depressed or don't enjoy being anxious, so, and it just makes them feel really ashamed and embarrassed, and it's more likely to make them withdraw and isolate. And that's the very thing we want them to not do. We want, being out with people actually increases our ability to manage anxiety, but it needs to happen with support and with a bit of compassion as well, because it's really hard to experience anxiety. It's very frightening to be frightened all the time.
Mm. Yeah. I know that, you know, some of those with depression always say that, the people just say, oh, come on, you know, get over it.
Yeah, but, you're just being lazy.
You're just
wallowing, or...
Yeah, you're just stuck in this rut. Get yourself out of it and do something. Yeah. But from what I understand, they just can't do that.
No, and in fact, it's the very thing, you know, the messages now, we know the mental health messages are, those messages actually increase depression. They don't actually make it better.
Mm, can I understand that?
Then they have the depression, and then they feel sort of social stigma or shame or embarrassment, and they're more likely to isolate. And when you're depressed, you actually need people checking in on you and making sure that you're okay.
Not awesome. So one of the things too that I guess, and I know this has been said 1,000 times, but it is the truth, isn't it? You see someone in a wheelchair, like you said, you're never going to walk up and say to them, get up and walk, because you know that they're not sitting in a wheelchair for the fun of it. But you don't know the person you're talking to, whether they've got depression or anxiety or anything, do you?
No, I mean, we don't look any different when we experience mental health issues. Yep. And, you know, we all have mental health, don't we, Alan? Like, we have... Well, we have mental health. We are well, and sometimes we are in a place where we're not as well. And the message that we would always want to put out to people is get support early, because the quicker we can kind of support that, it might not remove the depression, it might not remove the anxiety, but it will give you some skills and some tools to be able to support you so you can live your best life.
I don't want to go down this track too far, because I know that we're talking about this new strain that's come out of COVID. Now, there's a lot of different, we don't know anything about it, let's be honest, and I'm no doctor, but I've heard some of the doctors saying that it may be very admittable very quickly, but it may not be anywhere near as bad as what it was. So I don't want to get down that track. But if you're listening to Talkback Radio on yesterday, particularly I was down Gippsland yesterday and I had the car radio going, a lot of people are getting worried about it. I think in the back of their minds, they're frightened it's going to be another lockdown for months. And we don't know. It probably won't be. We have no idea. But what would be your recommendation to people if they're starting to really worry that maybe, you know, we're going down the subtract? We should mention, and again, I'm not a doctor, but we should mention that bear in mind when we started this year, nobody was vaccinated. And so the lockdowns we've had this year was getting ourselves through unvaccinated. Now, I think it's 92% are now fully vaxxed, and I believe some have already got their booster shot. So what do we do to alleviate people starting to stress about what might happen, right?
I think there's a couple of really practical things that we can all do. And the first one is manage and have some control over your consumption of media.
Yeah.
My suggestion would always be, because we know that the internet has basically exploded with all sorts of opinions, and that's fine. We're all entitled to have an opinion and to make decisions that are independent. But sometimes that just increases uncertainty, anxiety, and things that you can't control anyway. My advice, if you can and you're able to access print media, maybe do reading every couple of days, but that saturation of information on social media, most of it is kind of sensational and designed to kind of get a sensational sort of response. It's not always very good for our threat system to be constantly listening to that and feeling things really intensely. I would also suggest that because we're still in a time of uncertainty, there's still things that are, you know, shifting and changing all the time. If you can make plans that are really simple and flexible, and can be changed at short notice. We don't know. I'm not anticipating another lockdown, but like you, Alan, I'm not a doctor. I'm a simple social worker who tries to support people around their mental health and well-being.
You know more than we do.
You know, what would be the next best thing? So one of the things a very good friend of mine said, who's also a counsellor, said, you know, make decisions and arrangements that are independent of COVID. So keep connected, even if it means that you can't be connected face-to-face. Have a plan and maybe a backup and a second backup plan.
Oh.
So you can shift and change if you need to. I think flexibility is going to be a bit of the key, rather than having a fixed idea of what something will be and then being disappointed. It gives your mind just a bit of kind of a sense that it can choose and it can control. Because one of the things, as human beings, we like to be able to choose. We like to have control. We like certainty and predictability. So have some simple routines in your day that make yourself feel like you've got some sense of control and order. It might be getting up in the morning and having a cup of tea and going out into the garden or going for a walk every day, something that is predictable and is not going to be impacted regardless of what happens, that you can still do and have a sense of mastery, choice, control. It's kind of a really nice antidote to anxiety.
Well, we love to be
very calm when it's got a bit of a routine and a bit of a ritual. But if we're just kind of, anxiety just gets worse. So what can you control in your day? What are the things that you know make you feel good about yourself? And that will be very different. You know, I have a practice when I can do it of getting up and meditating. I do it for 10 minutes. If I'm on a really good day, I do it for 20. If it's a really bad day and I'm struggling, I might do it for 2 minutes. But I get up and I make the practice. Or it might be getting up and having a cup of tea and sitting outside and looking at the birds or listening to the birds. Something that makes you feel connected to yourself. And if you can connect to another person that that you trust and there's a meaningful relationship. So be connected, have some routines, be a bit flexible.
And we always like to be in control, don't we?
Oh, of course.
Lorraine, we're sitting at home now listening to this. We know we're coming into Christmas.
Yep.
And we're talking now that maybe not necessarily Mr. and Mrs. Average, but I guess we probably are. So we don't know what I gave a speech at the end of 2020 and I said, well, we've got through all this rubbish and, you know, 2021's going to be a terrific year and 2021 fill in a hole. Yeah. So what would be your message to us? What should we be doing over the Christmas period and looking forward into the next year?
I'm going to add something in before I do that, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
One of the things we often talk about when we're talking about grief is we talk about a grief storm. And I've kind of taken that metaphor and think it's quite it fits quite well with COVID. It's COVID-19 has been kind of a bit of a COVID storm. Sometimes it's smooth sailing. Sometimes there's like a tempest and we don't know what's going on. Sometimes it's, you know, hail coming down and the ship's bouncing around all over the place. And other times we're just kind of cruising along with a cocktail in our hand, you know. And it's about making some space for that sense of unpredictability. So over Christmas, if you have people that you can connect with, try and connect with them in simple ways. I would go for simplicity this year. We've had a lot of complexity. Connect with people in a really simple way. Maybe make gift giving simple. Take all the expectation out of it, lower it down, and just enjoy time with family and friends. If you're someone who doesn't have family and friends, make contact with some of the organisations that have meals on offer. And it's often more about the connection with other people than the meal itself. Find ways to be connected with other people if you find yourself someone that doesn't have a lot of friends or family around, and for a lot of people that's their experience. There's a lot of pressure to kind of buy a lot, get yourself in a lot of debt over Christmas. A lot of the people that we work with have a lot of complexities and don't have a lot of money. So I think it would be simplicity, gratitude for the small things that you do have. Notice simple things like fresh air, being able to go outside, go out to the park with a friend, go and have a coffee, really simple things. I think when the mind's been so busy, everything we do has been such an effort, just getting in the supermarket, wearing a mask, having to check in, all those things are really mentally draining. I think it'd be really nice to give some ease to the mind.
Lorraine, I don't want to get into the vax against a non-vaxxed and all that sort of stuff, but I guess we need to at least broach the subject. So you've got some people who have made the decision not to get vaccinated. Whatever they've done, it's their business. But how's the government, and again, I don't want to get on the political side of it, the government is saying that they're going to lock a lot of these non-vax people out of a lot of stuff for as long as the whole of 2022. So what's that going to do to people's mental health if you're a non-vaxxer?
Yeah, I think it's really complicated, and I'm probably a bit the same as you, given my position in the health service. It's not really my role to get into the kind of political decision-making, but I think it is creating a bit of a divide. I've certainly heard of people, you know, asking relatives who are not vaxxed not to come for Christmas or not to come to their home, and I think that creates, you know, fractures within families, and I think that would be a really heavy kind of burden for someone who's not vaxxed to feel kind of isolated, to feel a bit kind of pushed aside, and I think that could be a real issue in terms of how they experience that, and just with family relationships. I guess we were saying in the break, and I'd really like people to know that in terms of Eastern Health, we are taking all the precautions ourselves, and so we are a universal health service, and in terms of support here, our community health service can still see people who are vaxxed or not vaxxed. We're not asking people about their vaccination status at this stage, and so we are currently, I had a person ask already this week whether they could come in for their counselling appointment if they're not vaxxed, and I'm currently wearing goggles and a mask while I see people, and because being a health service we are vaxxed, we're still open to see people. So if people are experiencing issues around their mental health because of their vaccination status, please know that there's support there. And in the same way as, I don't know, someone who has a really unhealthy diet and it ends up with heart disease, we don't say we're not going to treat you. We treat anyone who comes in the door who needs a health service. It's here for you.
Lorraine, so Well, I am vaxxed, so let's get that on the table first. Because I didn't want
to be vaxxed.
But I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, right? I'm part of a family, and all of a sudden, somebody in the family says, "You're not coming." So, how do I deal with that? Not about whether it's all fair or that. How do I deal with that sort of situation so that it doesn't get out of hand and I feel as though the world's against me, everything's going wrong. What do I do from you as a counsellor, if I came into you and said, I've got this problem, I've got the family won't talk to me because I'm non-vax and I don't want to get vaxxed, how do I cope with that without it becoming a major health issue to me?
And I think it's about, for us, a strong way we work in our counselling team is really bringing people back to their values. And so as a counsellor, people often make decisions that I may or may not agree with, but that's not my place to decide. But it is my role to support that person around how do they own their own values. So that must be to make a decision like that with those sort of consequences must mean they have some really strong values about something. So I would work with someone about how they maintain their values and are there some opportunities for them to reconnect with their family in a way that everybody can kind of, you know, negotiate, I guess. And I guess for the family, I would say, how can you make that decision with compassion? How can you make that decision with respect? Because we often in families make decisions that other people in our families don't like or don't agree with, but we can still have differences of opinion and we can still love each other. Yep. And I think it's about how do you do that rather than, because I would hate for a society to be, you know, the those who are in and those who are out. As a social worker, that goes against my very kind of, you know, the bones in my marrow.
Marrow
in my bones, the other way around. As a social worker, it's all about equity, equality, that we all have access to universal services and that we don't have the haves and the have-nots. That would go against
I didn't mean to talk over you. So it's Christmas Day. I get up Christmas Day and I look out in the street and the kids are riding bikes and, you know, all the things are going on the street and people are packing their car up because they're going off to see mum and dad and Artie Flo and all these sorts of people and I can't go anywhere. What am I going to do on that day?
Because I would be doing a bit of pre-planning if you know that that's going to be your situation. Is there a way I can connect with some other people? Is there a way I can still connect with my family even if I'm not seeing them? Is there a way I can do things that remind me of why I've made that decision in the first place? What am I, you know, how do I support myself and the consequences of any decision that I make? Because any decision that we make in any part of life has consequences. And how do I support myself and reassure myself that actually I'm making a decision that really is, you know, that I'm willing to accept those consequences because I believe it so strongly? What can I do to support my mental health? What are the things that make me feel good about myself? What are things that I enjoy doing that I could do on that particular day? I think the interesting thing about Christmas Day is it's really just a day. We elevate it to such a point in our society that...
But it's a family day, isn't it?
It's a family day, and it seems this really big kind of deal. But reminding myself that, you know, this day will pass and then the next day will just be a day. And how can I kind of just get through this day? And that doesn't define me and it doesn't define even my relationship with my family. I think if people are making decisions based on a lot of fear, people are making decisions based on, you know, different values. And how can you support yourself? And if you need some help, I've got some numbers that would be really helpful to have just in case you need support on that day as well.
We've talked a lot about it. So now we've got people listening or, let's be honest, they might know a friend or a family member that they could need to talk to people like yourself, Lorraine. How do they go about it, plus?
Yeah, beautiful. So our community health service is currently based at the Healesville Hospital. We provide a free counselling service. You don't need a mental health plan. You can ask your doctor to refer, but you can refer yourself or you can let a family member or a friend know. We have a 12-session model. That number for the community health service is 1-300-130-381. I'll say that one more time. 1-300-130-381. We would always recommend that if you need someone to talk to, you can always call Lifeline. It's a free service. It's confidential. It's 24/7. It's 1-3-11-14. That's 1-3-11-14. I always like to provide a number for 1-800-RESPECT. Particularly for women experiencing family violence, if that's you or someone you know, 1-800-737-732, 1-800-737-732. And if you're a gentleman out there who needs some support around your mental health, or if you are concerned about your behaviour in terms of aggression or violence, you can contact Men's Line on 1-300-789-978. That's 1-300-789-978.
Lorraine, unfortunately, the time has gone. The hour goes very quick, and we'd like to have covered a lot more topics, but you'll be back early in the new year, we hope. And we will, so to you and your family, I hope you have a fantastic Christmas. And I hope we're all, everything keeps going through 2022 and we have a lot better year than we've had the last couple of years.
Yes, and I wish all of your listeners a happy holiday season and, keep good mental health.
Sounds good, mate. Thanks, Lorraine. And
right. Thanks, Ellen.
See you later. Bye.
See you later. Bye.